This meeting is now being recorded.
So welcome everyone to the DCCU's Policy Implementation IRT meeting on the 23rd August of 2016. And as a reminder, please speak your name before you speak so we can have it for the recording. And all of this, all this, of course, will be recorded and put on the our community wiki. So let's get started. Okay. Thank you, Fabian. Fabian is helping me in the background. And I'll be running the slides and running the meeting. Okay. So agenda for today. I thought we'll take just a few moments to talk about the meeting logistics, and then we have some candidate requirements, consensus policy language that we've developed that we want to share with you, and some of the open items on our scorecard that we have not yet closed out. Okay, let's see. Can everybody see the slide okay?
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, bigger.
So meeting logistics, let's talk about that. So what I'd like to do is make sure that we're on the same page about the meetings. As much as we can, I'd like to get IRT agreement on the meeting schedules, both, you know, near-term and long-term perhaps. And I know that in the past we have agreed on weekly meetings and on the same date and time, and that's what we've been booked until the end of August, I think. So we'll have to talk about whether we need to do that for the end of September, which is what I'm proposing today. The meeting invites will normally be sent out via email, and it usually goes one at a time and sort of a batch system. So, you know, our teammate, Aishigo, sends out those meeting notices and meeting invites. And then typically what I like to do is at the end of the meeting, when we talk about the next steps, I like us to confirm the time of the meeting for the next meeting, and hopefully we want to establish some agenda for the next meeting. And I think it may be clear to us when we get to the end of this meeting what we should be doing at our next meeting. So let's do that. And of course, all the meeting recordings and the materials are posted on our community IRT wiki page. Any questions on the or comments on our meeting logistics? Hearing none, I'll move on. This is a transition to implementation path timeline we established on 19th of July and hasn't changed. But because this is a complex program and project, I certainly have to come back to this slide as a reference very frequently. So you'll see this same slide again and again for us to remind ourselves exactly what we are talking about every time we have a topic. So for our consensus policy language, the first section typically is our effective dates. And I would like us to make sure that we're on the same page. These are the two most important items on the policy. And we, on this policy, have two effective days, as we agreed on before, that on 1 May 2018, all new domain name registrations must be created as DIC. And by 1 February 2019, all data for existing registration must have been migrated from thin to thick. This should be consistent with your line of thinking, but I'd like to hear from the IRT members if there's any discussions to be had on this time, on this these two dates. It should be consistent with these two blue milestones that we have been looking at on the timeline. Can I hear some acknowledgement from IRT members? Anybody? Hello? The audio enabled?
Dennis, we have a check mark from Mark.
Okay, thank you. That's good.
Hey, Dennis, it's Krista also. I think you're, because you're running the show, you can't see the chat. We've also got Roger Kearney saying timeline looks correct and Jody Kolker saying agreed.
Okay, thank you so much for your help, guys. Yes, you're right. I can't see the chat. So let me move on. This is very important that we do this. And so these are sort of the language that you will see in section one of the policy, consensus policy that we would be preparing. Next item, the implementation team thought it would be helpful to provide some definition that the IRT and everyone can agree on. And those three terms we picked out are thin registration, thick registration, existing registration. Now, thin and thick registration, it's been talked about in many different forums, and even training sessions have tried to explain what these mean. In a lot of the engineering firm, technically, there's descriptions, but decided to pull all the information together and in a concise language that is at a policy level to describe what we mean by thin and thick. Probably all of you are very familiar and knowledgeable about these two terms, but I think it's important that when we present our consensus policy that these are the first thing that they see. Now, let's talk about thin registration. Any comments on this definition? Is there something that's unclear, or should we make it somehow better? Any comments? And if you want to do a check mark too, that's okay. Thin registration definition. Are we good with this definition?
Dennis, you have Roger in the queue, and you have a check mark from Jody Kolker.
Roger, go ahead.
This is Roger. I'm just wondering if it would be beneficial to mention contacts in both of these descriptions, and that the contacts for a thin registration are only at the registrar. You mentioned the technical information, but I wonder if we shouldn't mention contact information.
Contact. Did you say contact?
Yeah.
Context.
Yeah, the context. Their contact information, their name, their address, their phone number,
registrant.
So, Roger, it's Krista. I think your point being like thin registration. This definition is specific to a registry of thin registration, not to a registrar. And so your point being at the registry, it's just the domain name info, but the contact information is thick at the or the registration itself is thick at the registrar level. Am I understanding that correctly?
Again, when you look at the definition, it looks right, but I think that if we put in there that the contact information is maintained only at the registrar, it may add more information or be clearer to people.
Okay.
Anybody else agree with that? How does the other IRT people feel?
This is Mark Anderson. I've
got
my hand up in the queue as well. I agree with Roger. From a practical standpoint, you know, the only real difference between for a thin registration and a thick registration is the contact data. The only real difference is in a thin registration, the registry does not have any contact, does not even accept contact data, and doesn't display it. Whereas a thick registration, it does have contacts and displays the contact information. So I think Roger makes a good point. Just for clarity, there's nothing wrong with the definition, but making note of the contacts would help provide clarity.
Okay.
So I agree with Roger's comment.
Yep. I think that's good. I think we should do that. So we'll add the right here, right? Add contact information. Okay. Next item is thick. Any comments on the thick? It's more of a lengthy definition.
This is Mark in the queue. This is Mark, too. Yeah, I understand you can't see when we raise our hands in the queue.
You know what? I think I will do it this way. Let me see if this... Yeah, now I can. When I go into the presentation mode, I can. How's this? Yes, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thank you. Mark Anderson for the record. So in your definition, there are lots of definitions of ways to define thin and thick. I'm not sure this is the one I would have taken, but my one concern about this one, I guess, is that you say the domain name for which the registry operator maintains all the registration data elements that enable it to comply with WHOIS. I have to say I disagree with maintains there. The registry operator, really doesn't take on responsibility for maintaining the contact data elements. That's still the responsibility of the registrars. The registrars maintain that information, and passes that information to the registries, who then have a copy of that data. But, to say registries maintain that data really isn't accurate in my mind, at least. Thank you.
So Francisco suggested stores. Does that work better?
Yeah, that's definitely better than maintains.
Okay. Okay, Joyce asked a good question. Why are we defining the terms? Are we starting over? We're defining the terms because we're preparing the consensus policy language that we will be posting for public comment. And as we discuss what we're doing with thick and thin registrations throughout the policy, we thought it was important that we come to a common understanding that IRT can explain to the the people who may be asking. That's why. that choice, is that understandable why we are taking the time to do this now? Any more on thick registration? We can follow up. Go ahead, Steve. Steve, go ahead. Oh,
I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is Steve Metellus. Did you look at the definitions of these terms in the working group report that led to the consensus policy? Just wondering if it's necessary to reinvent the wheel here.
Fabian?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So we did look into the report, and we're familiar with actually the way it was described. It wasn't defined per se. There was just an explanation of the difference between the two, and so I believe we've gone this way as to be the most precise as possible in the consensus policy.
Yeah, I didn't expect to spend a lot of time on this, but I think it may be worthwhile. We may choose not to use it for our consensus policy language at the end, but at least for the IRT here, there shouldn't be any disagreement on these terms. And let's talk about the existing registration. We talk about existing registration quite a lot, and we wanted to make sure that this definition is what we mean by that. Go ahead, Steve.
This is Steve. My only question is about the pending create status. Is there a time limit on how long a registration can remain in that status, or could a registrar, in effect, delay moving to thick by keeping registrations in pending create status for up to 9 months?
Hi, Steve. This is Francisco Arias. I think that depends on registry policy. And I have to confess, I don't know what is the policy in Comnet and Jobs. If they have, I don't even know if they use pending create.
Maybe Mark can answer that.
Yeah. Is Mark still on?
Hey. Yes.
Yeah,
Steve, this is Mark. I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking, but so ComNet does not have pending create status, so it wouldn't apply there. Jobs does, and I guess. It doesn't become in the case of that jobs, it doesn't become a registration until the pending create request is approved. I'm not sure. I don't think that answers your question, but am I getting warmer? I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense because I think, as I understand it, just from reading the description of EPP codes, would mostly be used in registries that have a sunrise period. And of course, that's long, CommonNet never did, and it's long over for jobs. So I'm just wondering what else this is being used for and whether it would be possible, do we need to say the pending create, or is that really a null set?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, to your point, yeah, it wouldn't apply to the sunrise, any sunrise TLDs that are using pending, right? So, it is a valid model there, but they're all thick from the start. So I don't think it applies there.
you know, as far as jobs though, I'm not sure I'm following exactly where you're going there. I can't think of a use case offhand where we'd have to call it out specifically, but fair question.
So if it just causes more question, confusion, should we just take it out? And if it's pending create status, it's not registered, right? So it's not an existing registration. That's what I'm hearing, I think.
Dennis, this is Francisco. Yeah, that's correct. That's what I was suggesting. Perhaps we should remove the word registration from the definition and call it something else, maybe existing domain name or some other term that is that people think is it fits better. On the other hand, what you just said, I don't know what people think, particularly the registrars. If we remove the notion of names in pending create status from the definition, then that would mean, I think, that a domain name that is in pending create status, let's say on April 2018, and then moves to okay status or some other status that is not pending create. So the pending create status is removed, let's say on May 1st, 2018. It could have been created without the tick data with the pending create status, and then when it's moved to from the pending create status, then the registrar will have to add the information. So that's why we were trying to consider that case and say the moment you submit the create operation is when you have to, that's what matters in regards to when you have to put the data. And I understand from Mark that this is only relevant for jobs, not for common net. So it should be a small number of cases. But I think we can either change the name or update the definition to remove the concept of pending create from there. I don't know what's the preference from the IT members.
Mark, do you have a preference?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was not following initially, but Francisco, thank you for the additional detail that helps. I think you make a good point. So, so let's just say on April 20th, a registrar submits a .jobs. The main request, it goes into the pending create status, and then employee media, who's the registry operator for .jobs, it's up to them to approve or reject it, right? And if on the 20th the registrar submits the request without thick contact data, and employee media approves it before May 1st, then it's not an issue. If they approve it after May 1st, then that becomes an issue, right? So you wrote it this way to account for that use case, and basically give registrars up until May 1st as sort of a grace period. Based on that, I understand why you put it in there. I think it makes sense, and I'd suggest leaving it in there just to make it easier, more consistent for registrars on when their effective date is for that. Thank you.
Okay. So Mark is suggesting that we leave it in there. And Francisco is saying, would you call it existing domain name or something else that does not include the word registration? Okay. So you mean take this out?
Yes, and also from the name itself.
This one? But we use existing registration
so we should, name it existing domain name, right? That's what we
call
it. I'm suggesting we call it existing domain name.
Okay, so we're as we go through the rest of the language, we should remember to call it consistently and say existing domain name.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, everybody okay with the terminology definition? Let's move on. Again, reminder for the timeline, we're going to get into some candidate requirements language. So by May 1, 2017, registrar operator must provide all registrar and ICANN documentation reflecting the system changes concerning the relevant OT&E. So valuable. So we're talking about 1 May here. This diamond, registry OT&E, where OT&E opens. So we expect that certainly by then the documentation should be available and it can be provided. Is that okay? Comments, Mark, go ahead.
Sorry, that was an old hand.
Oh, okay. Well, do you think this is okay? I think this is redundant, so I'm just going to delete that. Okay, no comments. Then we'll go move on to the next sentence. 1 August 2017, registry operator must deploy an EPP mechanism for registrars to migrate registration data for existing registration. So we're talking about 1 August 2017. So we're talking about this data right here, this point here, this timeline. So on the same day, we have a couple of things here, and we broke it out into two different sentences, line items, because one is EPP mechanism, which I believe you already have. So there shouldn't be anything new. I'm not sure whether you have to do something new there, but the last bullet here, we call it the alternative bulk transfer mechanism. And this is what we were talking about in terms of file transfer. And this is what I, when I asked the registry and registrar to work out the system, and IRT is not going to be involved in designing the interface or the transmission mechanism, but simply handle it this way. Is the IRT okay with this bullet? This requirement for registries and registrar okay with this? Go ahead, Jody.
Hi, this is Jody for the record. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I don't know, I wish Theo was on, but I'm not sure how relevant this is anymore. I just know that we won't be using a bulk transfer mechanism to do this. It'll be done by a one-by-one basis. So I don't know if it's worthwhile for the registry to have to develop that if no registrars are going to be using it.
Yes, my understanding was that somebody was going to. Was it Theo?
I'm not sure if it was Theo or if Theo had moved on to something else. I think it might be something to discuss on the on the mailing list, just to make sure.
Right. Okay, so you're right. If it's not required by anyone, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this is Mark. Thank you. Certainly, that would be, that would be work on our end to implement support a bulk transfer mechanism. And so, if it's something that registrars are not going to use, if they're just going to utilize EPP. I'd hate to go through implementing something that's not going to be utilized or would be very lightly utilized. So yeah, it'd be good to confirm that it's necessary. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. The difficulty with the IRT members who are looking at the interest of the registrar is that they sort of have to think about all cases. But if we can come up with a scenario or anyone who would want one, then we would have to, we wouldn't put it in as a requirement. We'll follow up on the email with you. Shall we move on to next item? So starting on 1 August 2017, registrars may, and this is a may, provide complete DIC registration data to registry operator upon creation of new domain name registration, and registry must except the creation of new domain name registration. So 1 August 2017, we are here, right? Again, right here in this point. And what we're saying is registrars can start to move data and registry must accept. So it's a may for registrar and must for registry. Is that clearly stated? Somebody want to speak or? Okay, then let's move on. Starting on 1 May 2018, registrars must provide complete, Mark, go ahead.
Sorry, my reading's a little slower than you're going through with this. So I'm reading through, starting the 1 August 2017, registrars may provide complete DIC registration data to registry operator upon creation. So the registry must accept the creation of new domain name registrations. I guess that's kind of what we do, right? Is accept a creation of new domain name registrations. I think what you're trying to say is the registry must accept the creation of DIC registration data with new domain name registrations. And again, going back to what we said earlier, I mean the real difference between thin and DIC is the existence of contacts at the registry. Right, so I think what is really happening is starting 1 August 2017, the registry must accept the creation of contacts in support of DIC registration, domain name registrations. So really, I mean, the key there is on that day, 1 August 2017, registries will start, registries must support contacts, really all contact operations for registrars.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But if we say DIC registration data, that's clear, right? That's instead of saying contacts. Okay. So that's one, August 2017. Thank you. Let's move to the next one. Starting 1 May 2018, registrars must provide complete SIC registration data to registry operator upon creation of new domain name registration. So 1 May 2018, let's go to 1 May 2018 is here. New registration. Well, I think that is our policy effective date. Is that the same? Must provide complete SIC registration data. Yes. This is new registration. So that basically is a policy effective date, right? Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Mark, again. I agree with what you have written here, but I think, I think what's going to happen on May 1st, 2018, or I think what we're expecting to happen as part of the transition from thin to thick here is we're expecting on 1 May 2018 that the registry will require contacts. Again, the thin to thick, it comes back to contacts. And so from a nuts and bolts perspective, right, on 1 May 2018, the registry will require registrars to associate contacts, with domain name registrations. Otherwise, the registration will fail. Right? And that's, without getting too much into the weeds, I mean, that's, really what's going to start happening on 1 May 2018 is that stops being a may and it starts being a must with the enforcement happening on the registry operator side.
That's a really good point. I just added that one sentence. So go ahead, Francisco. Did you want to speak or no?
No, I think you already covered my Well, perhaps my suggestion that probably should be a separate requirement, but we're getting into details.
I think, I think I see it as a sort of a same requirement.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay,
that's fine. Okay, so we got that captured. On May, registrar must provide SIC registration data, and registry operator must require SIC registration data, so we're covered on both sides. Okay, shall we move on? So here's more language. This one is covering transition of existing registration now. We're talking about starting 1 August 2017 and at the latest by 1 February 2019, registrars must migrate to the registry operator all data available in the registrar database for all sponsored existing registration to allow them to become SIC registration. So what we're referring to is this 18-month bar beginning on 1 August, ending in 1 February of 2019, the 18-month transition period. And what we're saying here is that at the latest, right, you can do it earlier, but at the latest, it has to be 1 February. And all data must migrate, and all data that pertains to the SIC registration, of course. Any comments here? It's the same thing that we've been discussing all along, but we're just trying to put it into a concise policy language. Comments? Roger, go ahead.
This is Roger. Would it be easier just to remove existing registrations in its definition and just say thin registrations?
Oh, I see.
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't matter when they were created or how they were created or anything. What we're saying is every thin registration needs to be moved. I don't know what everybody else thinks. It just seems easier to read to me.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that. Everybody okay with this? Instead of saying existing registration, just say thin registration.
Thin to thick.
That's what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the use of we just changed the name. It should be existing domain names. But the important bit about using that concept is because it's related to the date when the create happened. So if we use thin domain names as proposed, we will need to add also the part about the when the create for that name happened. Does that make sense?
Not really. So when you say existing registration is broader than thin registration, there could be.
Yeah, so it also encompasses when the domain create happened. Remember a few slides
mm-hmm.
ago,
mm-hmm.
we changed the name from existing registration to existing domain names.
Right.
And those are names that are created, I think, before 1 May 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. But during this time, don't they all have to be transitioned regardless? No?
Names that are created after 1 May 2018, they have to be created thick.
Yes, of course. Yes. So are you saying that the thick registration data has to transfer to transition to? Is that what you're saying?
What I was saying is if we don't want to use existing domain name and just do thin registrations, then we will need to add the bit about when the create happened.
Okay, that becomes a little more complicated then.
I would say let's we got the input, let's review and then we'll circle back.
Yeah. So let me just make it.
I have a question on that one too. This is Joyce. Yeah, she said the registrar must migrate to the registry operator all data available in the registrar database. You know, some registrar might have some extra information in their database for each domain name registration. So I think we are just required to migrate those contact or the domain that the required field by the thick registry.
Yes, just registry. Yeah, we thought about that case actually. Yeah, so that's why we added this, allow them to become thick registration, but maybe what you want to say is require them to become thick registration. Would that be all the required field by the thick registry,
not all the available data in the registrar database. That could be a part. That could be anything that's not related to the thick queries or anything. Or required field of the thick registry, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute.
Required field of a domain name registry. Registration to the registrar. Right?
Migrate to
the registrar operator all required fields of a domain registration to the registrar operator. Photography of a domain registration to the registry operator. to the registry operator, right?
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, because you don't really want the registrar to upload everything in their database.
Yeah, we thought about your case, so we discussed it here. We certainly don't want to imply that you have to hand over everything you have, but only those information that's required to make a tick registration. So go ahead, Francisco.
So I think you already covered the point, and just to put it in a slightly different way, and by the way, I think I made a slide on that, but didn't make it to this slide deck. You can think of this as a Venn diagram. You have on one set all the data available in the registrar database, and you have another set, which is the set of fields that make a registration be tick. And you put those sets together, and the intersection, that's what the registrars have to give to the registry. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes sense to me. I don't think you were asking the question to me, though. Anybody else have comments on this? But that is the intent, right? I mean, I think we all understand the intent. We just need to make the language clear. Okay, now I'm going to do something with this later. But let's talk about this. Next item then. Starting 1 May 2017 until 1 February 2019, we're talking about the same duration, registrar operator shall provide transition progress metric to each registrar every week. So this is something I think we did discuss this before, I remember, but any comments on this? So registry have to provide metrics to registrars, right? So the registrar knows how they're doing. It's basically trying to measure how we're doing. And of course, for the duration of the period, I can need this information. So registries have two things to do, right? Every week.
What is the metrics included? Each registrar is 100% completed or 30% completed for this particular registrar? Is it a whole picture of everybody or just individually addressed to that particular registrar?
What
I'm saying, am I getting a report from VeriSign saying that, hey, Registrar ABC has completed 30% and Registrar XYZ completed 20%? Is that what the metrics going to look like? Or just
if you are a registrar, then you'll be getting information about your own.
Okay.
Right, so each registrar gets their own information on how they're doing.
Okay.
I can guess everything.
Okay. Thanks.
That's the intent.
That makes sense, yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. This is Mark. I just want to caveat, I was on PTO last week, and so I missed last week's discussion, and I'm not caught up on my email yet. So I just wanted to caveat that I haven't seen all the discussions and conversations about the registry reporting that's
mm-hmm.
been proposed and discussed. So I just
I'll just caveat that and say I'll get caught up and read and comment on that as soon as I'm caught up. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So we'll go ahead and follow up with an online conversation, and we'll continue. But I think idea and intent is clear, right? So was there anybody who wanted to speak? We have 5 minutes left.
Hi, Mr. Joyce
left.
Again.
Go ahead.
The sixth paragraph there, I don't think you need to. Sorry, you know, when I edit it, registrar must migrate to the registry operator or require fees of domain registration. I don't think you need that to the registry operator. It's kind of duplicated.
You're right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So to allow them to become their take registration, that should be good enough, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Was there anybody? I had more slides prepared, but as expected, I think that this conversation took the time it should have taken. So I'm going to skip the next few slides, which were the open items that we were going to talk about. But we can do that next time. So go to the next steps. So we're going to continue developing this consensus policy language and get agreement on each component in the path of putting together the whole document. Next meeting is on the 29th, next week, Tuesday, August, at the same time. And as proposed, go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. This is Steve. You'll be circulating a draft of these prior to the next meeting. Is that correct?
Let me see.
Wait until we get to this meeting and now we have to start wordsmithing.
Yeah, I understand, yeah. Yeah, let me try to do that.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Krista. Krista Pavlik, ICANN staff. If I could just add one thing here, and I'll let you respond to Steve. But Steve and everyone, and the point well taken that, you know, about wordsmithing sort of on the fly. What we're trying to do here, and not sure, maybe this isn't a good idea, or maybe it doesn't work well for the IRT, but we were trying to just get kind of an initial read on some of these terms so we could pull. So concurrently, we have a document that we're drafting that would be the draft consensus policy that we would share with this group, but we kind of wanted to talk about some of these ideas and concepts with you. And then try to incorporate that into a draft that we could then share with you guys to do the actual wordsmithing. So not sure what you think about that, and maybe this is a good time to ask that question before Dennis responds. But, Dennis, I'll kind of leave it up to you. I just wanted to provide the background as to why we took this approach.
Yeah, thank you, Krista. Precisely. We wanted to make progress as fast as we can. So before we actually put together the whole document, the components that we can identify, which we thought was important, we wanted to get agreements on as quickly as possible. Any feedback?
Well, this is Steve. Just to say that it's always better to have something in advance, and then we can actually be prepared to give you some well-thought-out feedback. That's all.
Right. Completely understood. Let me see what I can do. So next meeting we'll have, we are going to continue, and go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, this is Mark. I was just going to agree with Steve and Krista, if I can do that. You know, I agree with Steve. You know, if you can provide anything in advance, you know, we can provide more meaningful comments. I struggled a little bit to keep up and read and comment during today's call, but I also understand you know, Krista's point. I think she's trying to, you know, it sounds like, you know, you're trying to make sure you're on the right track and you have the major concepts right before you put pen to paper. And And so, you know, I understand, and, you know, I think that's fine. So, you know, I'm just kind of agreeing with both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're sort of experimenting here as we go, too. We do want to make progress, but, yet, you know, there's a lot of things to do and a lot of things to think about, and people look at things very differently, we notice. So we'll have our next meeting. Are we in agreement that we're going to have continued to the weekly meeting till end of September? Can we go ahead and schedule that? Everybody okay with this? Krista, do you have something? Steve? Mark says agreed. Steve, did you want to speak?
Sorry. Okay.
Okay, great. Then I'll go ahead and schedule the rest of September, same time, same date. And RC, if I can put something out, you know, on a more regular basis in advance, via email or the community wiki, I would like to use the community wiki page more as an ongoing tool for the IRT. Go ahead, Steve.
When you say you're scheduling meetings through the end of September, does that mean you don't plan to put anything out for public comment until the end of September? Because I thought that our goal here was the 1st of September to get something out for public comment. I may be mistaken about that.
Yeah. The 1st of September doesn't seem likely at this point from where I'm standing. Do you?
Well, I think it depends on whether you're trying to make you're seeking the perfect or the good, you know. So, we could continue to vet this iteratively, or you could put something out and move the process forward. So, you know.
Yeah, I understand, Steve. We're trying to push it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
if I'm mistaken, this is another milestone missed, right?
So, hey, Steve, it's Krista again. So we're still, the main milestone is to be able to put something out by January so that we can meet the implementation timelines. And while, yes, we were targeting having publication in early September, we still think that the key milestone of being able to notify contracted parties of this implementation for the next implementation cycle, we still find that to be achievable. So, how does it go? Losing the battle, but still on target to win the war. However that goes.
All right. Thank you.
But understand your concern. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I got to sign off here, but thanks everyone.
Okay, thanks everyone. I'll see you next week then. Bye-bye.
Bye.